Well, if you want to turn to Proverbs 24:19, start there. Proverbs 24:19, it says this: "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." You know, it is so tempting sometimes to basically do exactly what this verse says not to do, and that is to fret because of the evil that's in this world and because of the things going on. And we can let that get to us, not only because of what people are doing, but just, you know, the wicked things that people are trying to do, the things that people are trying to push because there is an enemy, because there is a force that's against God, and there always has been. The thing is, it's tempting to get fretful and upset, like we don't want to see things happen, whether it's our country, the world, our community, what people are doing and around us. But the thing is, it's been here from the beginning of time. From the Garden of Eden, when Adam yielded to Satan, at that time, sin entered the world, and it has been ever since. There has been people that refused to serve God. And what I'm saying today is not that we are so holy and we are so righteous in ourselves. That's why we look to Jesus. But because we look to Jesus and we've bowed the knee to Him, you know, most people I know that serve God, they want to serve God. They want to do the right thing. They don't always do the right thing, but their heart is, if they hear something that is what God says and they see it in the Word, the Bible, that's what they want to do. They don't rise up and say, you know, forget that. I don't care if there's a God or not. I don't believe there's a God, or if there's a God, I don't care what He says. I'm going to do it my own way. There's a big difference between the two. You know, it's a heart condition, really. So we're not exalting ourselves and saying that we're so holy or we're so righteous in and of ourselves, but it's the heart attitude. Do we want to serve God and go after Him, and we've bowed our knee to Jesus and said, you know what, You are Lord, You are Creator. I know there's no way for me to be righteous in my own self, so I've looked to You. I'm going after You, and I want to do to the best of my ability. I want to serve You and do what You say to do. Then there are people that exalt themselves against God and want to do it their own way and do not want to bow their knee to a Creator and basically blaspheme and say, He's, you know, it doesn't matter. God is not going to tell me what to do. I don't care. Maybe I say there's no God, whatever. But the thing is, that has been there since the beginning of time. People from the beginning, it did not take long for wickedness to spread such that God sent the flood to wipe out mankind. Sodom and Gomorrah was so wicked that He destroyed it. Now, people can say that, you know, sin is running rampant today and people are doing such bad things and look at how they're going against God or not wanting to stand up for what's godly, but it's not to where it has been before. I mean, America itself is not to where their other parts of the country is. You know, are. We still are founded on godly principles, and there's still that underlying foundation in our society right now. But it can get a lot worse, and it has been a lot worse. But it is tempting to look and say, just basically to get anxious about it. Why is this happening? Why are people doing stuff? Why can't people just be decent and good and treat each other nice, and you don't want to see those type of people change our lives in ways that we don't, you know, want. We don't want that to have an influence. We want a godly influence, but it can be tempting to fret. This is, you know, back here in Proverbs, I believe this is probably Solomon writing this. He said, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. For there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." Now, this was thousands of years ago. And we're going to read some more scriptures that this is not, like we said, it's not a new thing. And we have to remind ourselves that this thing has always been, it will be, and we have to be careful how it affects us. Calm ourselves. Remember that we serve God, that God will not be mocked, that we just want to make sure our own lives are the way they should be, trust God, do what we're supposed to do, and move on with Him, and basically not try to take things into our own hands, even though we may not think that we're actually going to go do anything about it, but just to fret, to worry, to be anxious. Even if you think, if you're not even looking more towards what man is doing or not doing, but just the conditions, you know, fretting about where things are going because certain things have been done, because the economy is the way it is, because companies are the way they are, whatever, we can rail against things in our heart and want it to be different. But the thing is, we have to come back and just trust God. Just trust Him. Just look to Him and realize that our lives are not in the hands of other people. They cannot harm us. They cannot do things to us. We have a protector. I mean, in this country, and Christians still, we have freedom of religion, we have freedom of speech, but there are other countries where they will kill you if they find out you're a Christian. We are not to that point. And thank God that we can meet freely here, and if some, you know, police officers could come in here and they could not do a thing about it. There are other countries where that's not the case. Our trust has got to be in God. Let's turn to Psalm 73. And we're just going to read it because, you know, there's things like this where it just kind of brings it back to our condition in this world, that it's a fallen world. It's not perfect. And there always have been people that won't serve God. I'll let you turn there and I'll talk a little more before we read it. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. So before I read there, that we just have to remind ourselves that not everybody is going to accept the gift of God through Jesus. I mean, you'd like to think that that is absolutely just a no-brainer, that, boy, if we really explained it to them correctly and really had the true gospel, that nobody would reject it. They will reject it. That you know, people can rail against God and say, well, if God was really righteous, I mean, why would He set us up? He would create us and then make it so that we had to, it was just that we could choose not to serve Him, and then, you know, that it was all based on our performance and that we're going to go to this hell if we don't do everything right. Why? That just God wouldn't just create people. That's all just hogwash. Well, the fact is, the real gospel is that God created us knowing that we would fall, and that's why He sent Jesus, so that we could be redeemed. And it really doesn't take any effort on our part other than to believe that He did that. So God is just. God didn't set us up, create us, and then set us up with some, you know, unattainable goals, unattainable rules that it put all the burden on us, that here He created us, then makes it so that it's so hard to please Him, so then we're set up to be sent to a punishment. Basically, and we didn't ask to be created, and so on and so forth. People just rail against God and just use all these arguments. Therefore, that's all hogwash, and those are all stories, and we're just here, and we weren't created, and all this stuff. When the truth is, God created us with the free will, but He also knew that we weren't going to be perfect, and so He, from the foundations of the world, was going to send Jesus. He sent Jesus, and all we have to do is believe that He sent Jesus for our stead, and then we are put in the position of righteousness. And it is that simple, and you would think, boy, if somebody heard that, and not a bunch of religion, and not a bunch of you have to do this and do that, but actually that it is just trust in Him, nobody would slam the door on that. Nobody would say that, you know, that's not true. But the fact is, it happens every day. People will slam their door in the face of God and say, no, I don't believe You. I don't believe there's a God. And you know what it is? It's not, they have yielded to the enemy. The enemy has won. Satan has gotten in there, put a root in there through whatever circumstances from their childhood, from their surroundings, from circumstance. Somehow he got in there and convinced them that God was the problem and God was the one that they should be mad at somehow. And so they turn their back on God and they go after the enemy. Somehow that happened, and all the while God is standing there with open arms saying, come to Me, I created you. And I want to be your friend. I've made the way. All you have to do is believe Me here. It's like somebody standing there with $1 million or $1 billion, whatever, and saying, here, this will meet all your needs. you know, and this person's living in poverty, but they will not believe that you're earnest. And so this money is being offered to them that will meet every need, but they won't believe it. They won't bow their knee or whatever. They won't believe you, so they'll go without it. And then they'll rail against you that you never met their needs or something. I mean, it's just ludicrous the way Satan has twisted mankind. But the fact is, it's always been, and there will continue to be people now that will, they will just basically spit in the face of God and go on. It's always been like that. And it's tempting to sometimes, I mean, if Satan will try to say, so what are you living holy for? Why are you believing God? Why are you going down that path? What's the use? And he's used that throughout the ages. Why are you a Christian? Look at these people. There's no difference. Look at these people. They have more money, or you know, they're just as healthy or whatever. Why are you serving God? That's a lie. That's, you know, there is benefits to serving God, and we don't know all the ins and outs of everybody else's life. But he will try to use that and get people down and try to get us off serving God. And saying, see, there's no, you know, the wicked are just doing just as much. And this is exactly what this psalm is about. See, if we have those thoughts, they're no different than thousands of years ago. People had the same thing. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll fret because of stuff going on and not just look to God and trust him and say, Lord, your word is true. I'm going to do what you want me to do regardless. I'm going to believe that you're going to take care of me regardless in the midst of whatever. And just trust him. So let's read this. We'll just read the whole thing. Some of it, you know, it's pretty much all on this topic. It says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Now, see, this is, I mean, everybody has trouble and everything, but this is what the enemy will try to tell you. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Their pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High God? There are people that say, what is there, God? What, you prove me? You people are, you're dumb for believing in God. The Bible is just a bunch of stories. They're, you know, people say exactly this thing today. How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generations of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. And oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. He's saying I was just railing and getting irritated all this stuff and I was being a fool. I was taking my mind off God and his justice and who he is and that I can trust him. And I'm looking at these people. I'm getting my mind off on people and what they're doing. I'm letting it get to me. And I was like a beast before you. Foolish and ignorant, he says. In verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but my God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, who go after another god. You know, just like a man going after another woman, basically saying, God is true, God is only God, but people go after somebody else. They go after another god. They go after riches. They go after, you know, adultery. They go after sex. They go after whatever. They put something in the place of God. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So he starts off saying, I was discouraged. This was bothering me. All this evil in the world, all these people, you know, and this is thousands of years ago he's writing this. Well, people could write it today and they think everything is new. It's not new. It's just different. I mean, the technology is different. People's society might be a little different, but basically it's the same. It's the same thing. It's the same thing this man was right. But basically what he had to do is take his eyes off his surroundings and put them back on God. And when he did that, finally he started speaking to himself and saying, look, I was dumb to say all that stuff, but here I am back to you. You are my portion. You're my strength. I put my trust in you. I don't want to be anywhere else. And that's what encouraged him, and that's what got him focused back. And you know, that's just like in our own lives, we have to be careful where our eyes are. Because especially today, you know, there's just so many things, like we talked about a few weeks ago when we were talking about Psalm 91, it's just where we put our attention is where our thoughts are going to go. You know, have you ever looked at something? I mean, kids do this, but big kids do it as well. You know, like the Christmas catalog. Why do they put out Christmas catalogs? I don't know. I mean, I assume they still do, like JCPenney or whatever. We would get that Christmas catalog, I don't know how early, months before. You know, we didn't have the internet. You had TV commercials, put the seed in your head. But then you have this Christmas catalog, and you look through it, and you find some toy you want. And you keep looking at it. I mean, we would wear those things out by the time Christmas came. We're looking at the same toy, looking at the different toys, and it consumes us. It's what's on our brain. Until what? We want that. And of course, at that point, you have to ask your parents for it, or you don't have the money necessary to get some of the things we were looking at. But eventually you get it, you're happy for a while, and then you go to the next thing. But it's where your attention eventually, you want something because you're putting your attention on. That's where your thoughts are. Well, the same thing when we're big. If we start looking at some kind of, if we look at a new car or look at something we want, and we, you know, you're looking at the catalog, pretty soon that's your attention goes. That's where you want to go. That's where all your thoughts go. That's where it can consume you. Well, it's the same thing with God's word. If we don't be careful, all these things that are bombarding us through the internet, through TV, whatever, it can get us to where that's where our attention is. And we can start thinking just like Asaph here, writing this, and start giving our attention to the wrong thing instead of keeping our focus on God's word, that he'll never fail us, that he'll never let us down, that our trust is in him. Regardless of what's going on out here, our trust is still in him. I mean, think of Daniel. You know, in the middle of all that, here he is. People were plotting against him. He still prayed 3 times a day. He still kept his focus on God Almighty. He still kept his focus where it needed to be, and they threw him in the lion's den. He still kept his focus, and he came through that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did the same thing. They're going to kill him. Those people were wicked. They're going to kill him, but he came through on top. He came through because he focused on God and he did not let the wicked get to him. He stayed. I mean, you could think that today. I mean, not in this country yet, but people are tempted to give up their faith because somebody's going to get them. Somebody's going to, basically some harm is going to come to them if they don't compromise, essentially. And I mean, there's two examples of people that didn't compromise. They trusted God, even in the face of the wicked, of people that didn't love God, in the face of people that basically threatened their lives, and they came out on top. And God will do that today. It may not be that extreme, but in our lives, if we'll just stay focused and stay on the Word of God, then we'll come out on top as well. Here, we'll go to Psalm 1. And here's where we'll end up. But this kind of puts that whole thing, everything we've talked about, in a nutshell. Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What God has said, his statutes, this, you know, at this point, that's all they had is the law. It's basically the word of God. The statutes of God, the teaching of God, that includes the law. We just have to interpret it in light of the New Testament. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There we talk about, that's where his focus is. That's where his attention is. His attention is on God's word and God day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I like that phrase. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He says, blessed is the man. Let's just read the first three verses again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. Just imagine a healthy tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That person that he didn't say, unless it's a real bad time or unless you're surrounded by people that don't serve God. He said, if you delight in the law of the Lord, if you delight in God, in his word, and what he has said, and you let that be your meditation, then it does not matter what's around you. You shall prosper. Everything you set your hands to shall prosper. That's not just financially and material. That's your relationships. If we focus on God and let him be our final say, our relationships will prosper. Of course, we'll prosper materially. Our health will be good. We will prosper in the midst of whatever, just like Daniel did, just like Joseph did, you know, thrown in prison, he prospers, given, you know, sold into slavery, he prospers, thrown in prison, he prospers. Then he becomes the ruler over, you know, all Egypt, save the Pharaoh. But it's the same thing. We just need to focus on God and his word and not let the stuff around us get our goat. The way we do that is by not meditating on it. Anything that comes in, we counter it with what the Word of God says. If something is getting to us, if it's in society or what people are saying or what the news is saying, you know, people are doing evil things and we're like, how? It's easy. I mean, it's so easy to read a news story, a headline, and you say, how? What are they saying? What is going on here? How could somebody do that? How could somebody get thrown in jail for that? Can you believe what they did? They've done it for hundreds of years. It's just that now we can hear about it like that on the internet. But it's so tempting to just look at that stuff and to get, if it's righteous indignation or whatever, just to get, let it get to us instead of just saying, look, yep, that's the way it is, but God is my refuge. God is my fortress. God is my trust, and I'm going to look to him. I'm going to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. These other people may not, but as for us, we're going to serve God. And we're going to trust him, and we're going to be like that man that's planted, like the man that Psalm 1's talking about. We're just going to be just like a tree planted right by the river, right by where, like we started out saying, that God is life. He is the life giver. We're going to be planted right with him. And if we're planted right with him, we're nourished. We're healthy. We're strong because we're connected to the life giver. And everything that we do cannot help but to prosper because we are nourished by the one who created prosperity. The pinnacle of success, the pinnacle of everything good is the one we're connected to. So our fruit in our life is just going to be like that. And regardless of what others do, we go on with God.